Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 10. Listen for God's word. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
So our second lesson today comes from the 23rd Psalm. Let us listen for God's word. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As you might have already guessed, today is Shepherd Sunday. Now, it's not an official church celebration or even a Hallmark holiday, but every year, on the fourth Sunday after Easter, the scripture lessons in the Revised Common Lectionary ask us to meditate on Psalm 23 and some part of John chapter 10, and to think more deeply about sheep and shepherds. Not just any shepherds and sheep, however. These passages invite us to think about the God we know in Jesus Christ as our one true shepherd, which then makes all of the rest of us the sheep. Before I go any further, I'd like to address two things that often get in the way of us understanding and embracing God as our shepherd. The first is that we don't like to be thought of as sheep. Sheep have a pretty bad reputation. They're dumb, they're smelly, they're prone to accidents and wandering astray without the firm guidance of their shepherd. Not exactly character traits that any of us aspire to. I have a sneaking suspicion, however, that sheep have gotten a bum rap. As I learned this week, contrary to popular misconceptions, sheep are extremely intelligent animals capable of problem solving. They are considered to have a similar IQ to cattle and are nearly as clever as pigs. They have excellent memories and they can remember specific humans and other sheep for years. Quite social and friendly, they wag their tails like dogs, they know their names, and they form strong bonds with other sheep, goats, and with people. Sheep are capable of both recognizing and expressing different emotions through facial expressions and the position of their ears. And get this, sheep have even been known to self-medicate, seeking out and eating specific plants that can cure them when they are ill. Besides the fact that sheep probably think we smell funny too, just because sheep don't meet our totally anthropocentric expectations doesn't mean that they're stupid or bad. God made them the way they are, after all, and maybe there's something that we can learn from them. The second thing is that Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known and well-loved passages in the whole Bible. It is so familiar, in fact, that most of us have a hard time hearing it with fresh ears. Check out any top 10 list of favorite Bible verses, and I'll bet you that Psalm 23 is there in the top three. When you need a comforting word, you just can't beat Psalm 23. It's the security blanket, the verbal hug, the comfort food we turn to in times of stress and sadness. It is by far the most popular Bible reading at funerals and memorial services. In my 24 years as an ordained pastor, I've presided over so many funerals that have included Psalm 23 that I've actually only written one sermon on the psalm for a regular Sunday morning. So this week, I was amazed at how much I learned when I took a closer look at this familiar text. Because Psalm 23 has become so closely associated with death and dying and funerals, we've forgotten that it is actually a psalm for the living, too. So let's just get over whatever issues we have with being sheep, and let's listen to this psalm today with fresh ears, so that we can discover the amazing good news in it. The psalm begins with a simple yet profound declaration: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Who is the shepherd? Here's a Bible reading tip that will help you answer that question. If you look at the word Lord that is used here in any Bible, you will notice that it is Lord written with small caps. That's code for the Hebrew name for God. The name which God gave to Moses at the burning bush, the name that is so sacred that no Jew is supposed to say it out loud. We Christians tend to be a bit casual about it and blurt out Yahweh whenever we see it spelled out. But it's interesting to note that most of our Bibles use Lord in small caps for this holy name of God out of deference to our Jewish brothers and sisters. So who is the shepherd in Psalm 23? The shepherd is the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Exodus and the exile, the God of Israel and all of its kings and prophets, and the God of the Jewish people today, as well as the God who sent his son Jesus down to earth to become our good shepherd in the flesh. But what does it really mean to call God our shepherd? Well, throughout most of human history, a shepherd has had two primary duties: provision and protection. The shepherd's job is to make sure that the sheep have enough food to eat, water to drink, and to protect them from any threats and danger. We see these duties lifted up throughout the psalm. As biblical scholar Clinton McCann writes, contrary to the usual understanding, the imagery of the psalm is not aimed primarily at communicating a sense of peace and tranquility. It does this, to be sure, but its primary intent is to say that God keeps the psalmist alive. For a sheep, to be able to lie down in green pastures means to have food. To be led beside still waters means to have something to drink. To be led in right paths means that danger is avoided and proper shelter is attained. In short, God restores my soul is better translated as God keeps me alive. Later in the psalm, this same shepherd, God, feeds us at his table, protects us from our enemies, and pursues us with goodness and mercy whenever we go astray. The shepherd keeps the sheep alive and makes sure that they have everything they need, not just to survive, but to thrive. This is why the psalmist can say, "I shall not want." And as much as we may prefer the King James Version here, a better translation would be, "I lack nothing." With God as my shepherd, I do not need anything else to be the sheep that God created me to be. There is nothing else that I need or want in this life or in this world that God, my shepherd, has not already provided for me in some way. As McCann notes, in our consumer-oriented society, it is extremely difficult to hear the simple but radical message of Psalm 23. God is the only necessity of life. In a culture that teaches us to want everything, Psalm 23 opens with wanting nothing. Driven by greed rather than need, we can hardly imagine having only the necessities of life, food, drink, and shelter or protection. Our consumer-oriented culture conditions us to want not less, but more and more and more, whether we need it or not. So to call God our shepherd is to see God as the sole source and sustainer of our lives, not just spiritually, but physically, mentally, emotionally, and communally. And here's one more thing that in this day and time we are less likely to hear or notice in calling God our shepherd. In the ancient Near East, calling someone a shepherd actually had royal connotations. In ancient times, gods and kings were regularly called the shepherd of their people. In fact, the shepherd's rod and crook, both instruments used to protect and guide the flock, translated into the ceremonial mace and staff, which were given to pharaohs and kings and represented their authority and power over the people, as well as their responsibility to provide for and protect them. Thus, to profess the Lord is my shepherd is to declare one's loyalty to God and one's intention to live under God's reign. In contrast to the failure of earthly kings, God does what a shepherd is supposed to do, provide life and security for his people. This makes the first line of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," a stunning confession of faith in our time. In the midst of our self-centered, consumer-oriented society, it means that we will trust God to provide everything we need to live the lives that God created and calls us to live. In a world in which lots of voices and powers clamor for our loyalty, we declare that God alone is our Lord, our King, the ruler and ultimate authority over our lives. As people who have to keep living in this world, in the midst of many conflicting voices and forces, these words are not just comforting, but they can be challenging as well. Are we willing to trust our shepherd completely? To listen for God's voice above all others? To follow where he calls us to go, even if it's not in the same direction that the rest of the world is headed? Do we trust our shepherd? This brings us right into the middle of the 23rd Psalm. Did you know that Psalm 23 actually has a special surprise right in the middle of it? It's kind of like eating one of those Kinder Joy eggs or a Tootsie Pop or searching for the hidden toy surprise in a box of cereal. The central message of the psalm, the most important thing to know about God as our shepherd, is right there, smack dab in the middle of the psalm. Old Testament scholar James Lindberg points out that in the original Hebrew text, there are exactly 26 words before and after the phrase, "You are with me," or as the King James Version says, "Thou art with me." God's presence with us is at the very heart of this psalm. I have already mentioned how comforting we find the words of the 23rd Psalm, but it's not because the psalmist promises us a trouble-free life with no struggles, no heartache, no disaster or despair. No, in fact, the psalm assumes that we will be traveling through some dark valleys and we will be dealing with enemies along the way. The comfort comes not from the absence of trouble and pain, but from the sure knowledge of the shepherd's presence with us, whatever life brings us. This is the central message not only of this psalm, but of the whole Bible, of the gospel itself. "Don't be afraid, I will be with you," God says to Abraham and Sarah, to Moses, to kings and prophets, and anyone God calls to follow and serve and lead his people. Don't be afraid. I will be with you, says Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to his disciples before he ascends to heaven and sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself was known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus says these same words to us today, to anyone who will listen for his voice and follow where he leads. In 2004, soon after the publication of his book, The Lord is My Shepherd, Rabbi Harold Kushner was interviewed about why he wrote the book. Right after 9/11, he said, "When everybody was asking me, where was God that Tuesday? How could God have let such a thing happen?" The answer I found myself giving was, God's promise was never that life would be fair. God's promise was, when it's your turn to confront the unfairness of life, no matter how hard it is, you'll be able to handle it because God will be on your side. God will give you the strength you need to find your way through it. I was paraphrasing the 23rd Psalm, Kushner explained. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The psalmist is not saying I will fear no evil because evil only happens to people who deserve it. He's saying this is a scary, out-of-control world. But it doesn't scare me, because I know that God is on my side, not on the side of the hijacker or the terrorist. God is on my side, not on the side of the virus or the disease or the accident or the terrible thing that happened. And that's enough to give me confidence. The 23rd Psalm is the answer to the question, how do you live in a dangerous, unpredictable, frightening world? Kushner goes on to say, I was inspired to write all of my books, starting with When Bad Things Happen to Good People, by the death of my son when he was 14 years old. He had been born with an incurable illness. And I asked myself, how did my wife and I get through that? You would think that that would shatter the faith of an average person. Where did we find the strength and ability to raise him, to comfort him when he was sick and scared, and ultimately to lose him? The only answer is, when we used up all of our own strength and love and faith, there really is a God, and he replenishes your love and your strength and your faith. But people who have been hurt by life tend to get stuck in the valley of the shadow, and they don't know how to find their way out. So Kushner concludes, that's the role of God, the shepherd. The role of God is not to explain and not to justify, but to comfort, to find people when they are living in darkness, to take them by the hand or maybe the shepherd's crook and show them how to find their way into the sunlight again. The 23rd Psalm is the answer to the question, how do you live in a dangerous, unpredictable, and frightening world? If this coronavirus pandemic has taught us anything yet again, it's that for all its beauty and goodness, sometimes the world we live in is dangerous and unpredictable and frightening. And we all need a shepherd who will find us in whatever darkness we are in and help us find our way into the sunlight again. We are also looking for a shepherd whom we can trust to show us the way to green pastures and still waters and who will lead us in the pathways of God's abundant life. Do we trust the God we know in Jesus Christ to be our shepherd? I'd like to end with one final thought about the 23rd Psalm. As I mentioned before, we usually hear this psalm read at funerals when we are often more focused on death and life after death than life in the present. But the last line of the psalm brings us right back into our present life and reality. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The psalmist is not referring to our future with God beyond this life. The psalmist is talking about how we live the lives we have been given now. As much as we may want to project the comfort and promise of this psalm into an unknown future, It is even more powerful to consider it for our lives today. Do we trust the Good Shepherd to lead and guide us, to protect and provide for us, to walk with us through shadows and sunlight, dark valleys and green pastures, not some distant day in the future, but today, right here and now, in the midst of our daily routines, our joys and our sorrows, with our families and our church family, our community and our world? Do we trust our shepherd? If your answer to this question is yes, then Psalm 23 has some really good news for you. You are a sheep who is in the flock of a good, good shepherd. Amen.